Good afternoon.
Bears fans, this is Take the North.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Welcome into the Take the North podcast presented by Odyssey. I am Adam Stasinski alongside Dan Wiederer. I am in Chicago. Dan is in London, where the Bears just put an absolute beatdown on the Jacksonville Jaguars. 35-16 was the final. And Dan, back-to-back weeks, just not really any contest when it comes to the opponent. And the Bears have a nice relaxing fourth quarter, and they're going to be flying back to Chicago with a W.
Yeah, nice relaxing fourth quarter, a nice relaxing bye week with all this momentum and confidence that we've built. First of all, for our YouTube audience watching here, I'm in the corner of the Pickled Hen right now, which seemed like an appropriate place to do this late night. For me, late night, it's the middle of the afternoon for you, Studs.
Right.
Kind of recap of this Bears game. It's been a fun trip out here, and certainly the Bears' performance at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium enhanced the experience. You mentioned that fourth quarter. Between the third and fourth quarter, they were playing Sweet Caroline in the stadium, and the stadium was going nuts. A couple minutes after that, a Green Bay Sucks chant erupts inside the building. And so there was a really, really good vibe inside that building today. And obviously the Bears' performance from the end of the first quarter on was pretty representative of what they wanted to show out here.
Yeah. You know, it was a bit of a rough start. The Bears had, I think it was, what, 7 yards?
7 yards.
At the end of the first quarter. And so, you know, it was looking a little ugly at that point. But once they got rolling, I mean, they really got cooking. They were able to make it a two-score game right before the end of half on a beautiful touchdown drive there. So we'll go ahead and start getting into this thing. Where do you want to start? Because I think there's two routes we can go here,
yeah.
Dan, because there's two really good stories out of this, the quarterback and the tight end. So
yeah.
I'll let you choose your own adventure on this one.
Yeah, let's choose the tight end, because it's okay. One of these weeks where it's appropriate to kind of shine a spotlight on a guy who went out, had a team high 5 catches, a team high 70 yards, scored 2 touchdowns. Oh, by the way, had 6 long snaps because Scott Daly injured his left knee
right
in the first quarter. And a really peculiar kind of twist for Cole in his day. And he's very forthright in talking about how he has this skill in his back pocket, but is also very nerve-wracked by the idea of having it needed at some point. And it was needed today, obviously, when Scott Daly went out in the first quarter. To the Bears' credit, they didn't punt after Scott Daly left the game, and Cole was only needed for 5 extra point snaps and then a 43-yard field goal in the fourth quarter, which ended up getting blocked because the operation wasn't clean.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, kind of a stain on what was an otherwise really cool day for Cole. But the fact that he stepped in, did the job he did in relief of Scott Daly, and oh, by the way, also had so many big plays in the passing game, including that first touchdown of the day, which was such a cool play design by Shane Waldron. Great throw by Caleb Williams. Great effort by Cole to get it across the goal line. And then, oh, by the way, you got to turn around immediately. And as he said, just, you know, throw the ball between your legs and get on to the next thing. And he did that all afternoon. I'm sure you were watching that with a certain level of respect and admiration for Cole being able to step in like that.
All right. Yeah. You know, look, I mean, lawn snapping is such a peculiar and specific skill. Like it's basically all that these guys do. Like the guys that are your lawn snapper on the team, it's their only job, right? Like it's all
right.
They do. And for a guy to step in the middle of the game, when he said, I think Cole said he gets like 2 to 3 snaps on Thursdays as the emergency lawn snapper. So it's
right.
not something that he reps all that much. And because you hope you're never going to have to go to that. And so that's extremely impressive to step in. And, you know, we'll say 5 out of 6 times they got the job done. And, you know, luckily that field goal that was missed was not an important field goal. And, you know, I think the Bears, like you said, the Bears didn't have to punt the rest of the day. They did go for 1 4th and 4 that I think late in the game they might have otherwise punted had they had their regular long snapper, right? But, you know, otherwise it's a really, like, awesome day. Like it's not, I think I did see at some point post game, somebody said he's the first player since 2005 to score a touchdown and then snap the extra point. So like, it's not something you see very often, again, because it's such a specific skill. Like these guys are not like you very, very, very rarely have a lawn snapper that does anything else on the team.
So Cole's uncle, who played in the NFL on defensive lines across the league for 17 years, had this skill in his back pocket. And Cole said when he was a youngster, going out in the backyard with his dad and his brother to practice this out with the idea of the more you can do, right? And he, as he explained after the game, it's like, if I get to a point in my career where I'm like on the fringe of the roster and I've got the skill in my back pocket, maybe they're prone to keep me. Well, right now he's a $50 million tight end with a very bright future with the Chicago Bears, and he still has this. And as he said, you know, it's everybody needs an emergency snapper in the NFL. I'm just happen to be the Bears, and reluctantly so at times. And so his reluctance is kind of notable to this, but his willingness is also notable. And you just see a guy who's representative of, I think, some of the magic that's happening with this team right now. It's that win first mentality. It's that selfless dedication to squeezing the most out of yourself at every possible moment. And you've got some really special things happening with this football team. And part of it is that culture that's infused in the locker room and having leaders like Cole Kmet who will step in a pinch and do something like that, which is really, really impressive.
Oh, yeah. And you look, this is definitely a team now, I think, that we can say is starting to have their arrow really pointing up in a nice way. And so just to wrap up on the Cole Kmet's game, like I think he was saying, like joking around about how it's like his worst fear going into any game is the idea that he's going to have to be the lawn snapper. And so he said it was like him being genuine about like, yeah, he was nervous because like he says that when Hightower, the special teams coach, comes up to him and says, "Hey, Scott's hurt." He thought he was talking about Tyler Scott, the receiver. And he's right. And he's like, "How does that affect me? I don't understand." He's like, no, Scott Daly, you got to get ready to snap, man, because he's not coming back today."
And the reaction obviously was, oh, bleep to that. And then all of a sudden, Cole was thrust into emergency duty and did a decent job. And then obviously, I think a really easy bridge to cross as we kind of segue into our other topic is three of Cole's catches today, the two touchdowns and then the long extended play reception when Caleb broke the pocket, got outside to his right and found Cole. They're just representative of the growing sort of chemistry that those two have. Caleb Williams continues to take steps forward. And obviously we knew as we previewed in our preview podcast that there was going to be a real opportunity here to challenge a really bad Jacksonville pass defense. And the Bears didn't get off to a good start. And you're like, oh God, is this going to be one of those days where they're going to struggle to get it going? Second quarter, I think they had 216 yards in that quarter alone. And so you saw them mount drive after drive after drive. And had it not been for the Caleb interception, which we can get into in a minute, it would have been one of the best quarters of football offensively we've seen in Chicago in a long time. As it stands, I think the stat is first time, Adam, in the Super Bowl era, which means in my time covering the beat, and it means in either of our lifetime, the Bears have scored five offensive touchdowns in back-to-back games. That's hard to imagine. Here it was today.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to try to figure out, like, I can't remember the last time that the Bears scored 35 plus in consecutive games. So there you go. That's
first time ever. Five touchdowns in back-to-back games. The first time ever in the Super Bowl era.
That's somehow not very shocking, but hey, you know, like finally, I guess, you know, it's going to happen eventually. So, I mean, yeah, Caleb was other than that interception that you said we can talk about in a minute here. I think we'll talk about the good first. Like Caleb's final line, 23 of 29, 226 yards, four touchdowns, two to Kmet, two to Keenan Allen, a quarterback rating of 124.4 does technically break the trend of his quarterback rating going up in every single game. Cause last week his quarterback rating against the Panthers is 126. So what a shame, but
it's a turnover got him.
Otherwise he might've been flirting with 140 or so quarterback rating. So, either way, minus the interception, a stellar day for Caleb Williams. And you come away just really, really excited about the progress he's made. I mean, this is six games in. He's only six games in, and he's really starting to figure it out.
I'm eager to get into the rewatch, which maybe I'll be able to get through most of on my transatlantic flight tomorrow back from Heathrow to O'Hare. But I like in real time, Studs, there were moments in that second quarter where you just saw a guy in total command. Like his eyes were moving with purpose. They were moving quickly. He was finding receivers. He was fitting balls into tight windows. He was throwing with just great accuracy and precision. Save the one example, which we'll get into in a minute with the turnover. But even the second half, the two touchdowns to Keenan Allen are just incredibly placed footballs.
Yes.
And you know that in this league, when you've got playmakers, you've got to give them their best opportunity to make plays. The second one, the little fade to the back left corner of the end zone, like Keenan said, like I didn't really have to do much there. That ball was so perfectly thrown that I just had to make sure my feet were in, and it's a touchdown. The other one kind of splitting two linebackers in the end zone. Just the ball play Heisman tells you that it's a guy that's in control right now. And again, as you just mentioned, six games into his rookie season, to see the progress of where he was leaving Houston, of where he was leaving Indianapolis, and to see where this offense has come, man, there's a lot to feel good about with this team. Now, again, we're going to do the same thing as we did last week, and we're going to contextualize the fact that they played one of the worst teams in the NFL. And if Carolina's the worst, Jacksonville's second worst or third worst or at best fourth worst right now with the way they're playing football. But you can only play who they put in front of you. And the Bears, again, took care of business, and Caleb was a huge part of that today.
And, you know, yeah, just to, I will take that tangent real quick just about the Jaguars. Like, they are a mess, man. Like, and I just, before we started recording here, I was watching a little post game video from Andre Sisco. Yes. A lot of quit. It's like, ooh. I don't know if Doug Peterson's making the flight back with that team. Like, I mean,
well, remember, their flight is still a week plus away.
No, I know.
Stay here. Right. So you talk about if you're quitting on like day three of your 11-day excursion to the United Kingdom, oh my God, I can't imagine going to try to practice with that football team in the coming week with given the way that they feel leaving Tottenham Hotspur Stadium today. Total mess. And again, the Bears are emerging as a team that can take advantage of that kind of stuff, you know, and it's been a long time since we've seen that, a team that really handles its business against inferior opponents with this type of purpose. Really, really impressive to see them do that today.
Yes. And you know, this has been a theme for three consecutive games, which is, look, you're not playing a good team. Go out there and take care of business. And the last 2 weeks, especially, they've really, like, when they've smelled blood in the water, they've put the absolute hammer down on them. But, you know, back to a little bit more on Caleb, I wanted to, like, both of those touchdowns you mentioned to Keenan Allen were awesome, but the first one I liked somehow better than the second one, just because of the way that he throws that ball to Keenan Allen's, ends up being his left shoulder after he turns around before Keenan Allen's even looking back. Like, that ball is out of Caleb's hands before Keenan has turned around, and like Keenan Allen turns around and the ball is like on his face mask. So, I mean, that was an incredible, like, we talk about all the time in the last 2 years, the need for a quarterback to throw with anticipation. That was it right there. Like, that was like, I know that Keenan Allen's going to turn around and catch this ball. I'm just going to put it on his shoulder.
Game six. It's crazy. And there's an international audience here seeing Caleb up close for the first time and coming away very impressed with the way he handled this game today. And on top of that, he goes into his post-game press conference and he shows the type of presence that we've been talking about really since April, you know, and that strikes people that are experiencing it for the first time. So it was really notable to watch a bunch of European reporters see that and feel that out for the first time and just feel that presence that Caleb has. And you understand why it has built such confidence in that locker room right now. Look, I walked out of that locker room today, Studs, with a sense that this team's belief is just, it's swelling right now. Matt Eberflus made a calculated decision to come over here early to London, in part because he wanted guys to get their body clocks acclimated. Mission accomplished on that front. But he also thought there would be a training camp-like vibe here where guys would be kind of stuck, you know, sleeping in the same quarters, so to speak, and just having more time to hang out with one another with only football to worry about. And you got the sense talking to players after the game and really, you know, on Friday as well, that there was a bond that was forged this week on this long road trip that you think can carry forward. Now, obviously the win helps, the bye week helps, and you're going to have 2 weeks in Chicago where that hope and that belief and that confidence is going to continue to swell. And when they come back for what will be a pretty high profile showdown against Jaden Daniels and the Commanders, that there's going to be a lot of energy going into that building, and that's pretty cool to see.
And, you know, yeah, just the Commanders lost today to the Ravens. So both teams, well, the Bears will be going into that one 4-2. I have to look up who Washington plays next week if they do have a game. But, I mean, either way, win or lose, that's going to be a big game between the Commanders and the Bears. And, you know, obviously we'll get to that one. I did want to make sure before we get too far along that we mentioned, you know, DeAndre Swift continues to have a, I guess you could call it a resurgence. He had 17 carries for 91 yards in this one. He added 28 yards through the air. So, you know, after a really slow start to the season for DeAndre Swift, it seems like they've kind of figured out how best to utilize the first player that they signed in free agency this past offseason.
He ended up vulturing the fifth touchdown pass away from Caleb Williams, which would have been to DJ Moore, but DJ's elbow hit down just outside the goal line, and so they had to run another play, and DeAndre Swift ends up taking advantage of
that.
Bad
for me in fantasy. Bad for me in fantasy. Okay. I needed that.
But I thought Swift was kind of the spark on that second quarter drive that got everything unlocked a little bit. And then once they got going, it was like, oh boy, like this is going to be something that keeps going. And look, we talked about the 216 yards they put up in the second quarter. There was a stretch where they scored touchdowns on 5 out of 6 drives. Oof. And the only one they didn't score on was the one that they should have scored on.
Right.
Which was the deep ball interception to DJ Moore. And so we can get into that for a minute now, because I do think that was a cool moment in retrospect coming out of the game, because it was, okay, how's Caleb going to respond to that? He had a really, really open play there to DJ Moore on the play action shot play on 3rd and inches, and he missed it. He missed it badly. It was a throw that was a little bit too far to the inside of the field. By his own admission, he didn't put enough juice on it, and you gave the football away. And it's like, okay, well, like, how are you going to come back from that? Well, how about touchdown, touchdown, touchdown? You know, like, that's a pretty good way to respond. Yeah. And it tells you the maturity of him to not live in that mistake, to not live in that regret, and to just come right back. And it, by his own admission, in the postgame studs, he said, I was pissed off that I left one out there. He made up for it really, really, really in impressive fashion going from there. But I imagine, I guess, let's dive into that play a little bit, because I'm wondering what you were thinking about the call and then obviously the execution in a moment where it's 3rd and inches and you got the big dogs on the field set up for what has been a predictable play recently.
Well, you know, I it was one of those things where I was like, man, just get the yard. You know, like, in kind of in retrospect, you think like, oh, just go get the yard. But, you know, like, I don't mind that kind of shot in that situation, because let's say he doesn't throw an interception. Well, then it's going to be a touchdown. Or if he just overthrows it, then it's 4th and inches and you're probably going for it anyway.
You're right. 100% going for it.
So like, that's a situation where I was like, I was OK. And look, they've been using this same formation, this personnel the last 2 weeks. And this is why you do it, to set up that kind of play. Now they,
100%.
So they didn't hit on it. And like, I did like that, like, you know, you listen to Caleb both with Stacey Dales, the NFL Network postgame, and in his own postgame presser with the media, the rest of the media. And like, it just shows like the kind of guy Caleb is. He's such a competitor. He seemed more angry about that play than he was happy about throwing 4 touchdowns and winning a game in London by 19 points, and really the game wasn't even that close.
Yeah, it's that competitive edge. And look, like, if we talk about the speed option to DeAndre Swift in Indy as easily the least favorite play call of Shane Waldron's through the first 6 games of the season, that 3rd and inches shot play for me is in the top 3 of best play calls that Shane Waldron had. I called out to Brad Biggs and Colleen Kane before that snap. Once Doug Kramer came on the field, I said, great place here for play action shot to DJ here. You got him singled up to the left against a cornerback that he's going to have an advantage on. You've got a safety mm-hmm. that you can manipulate properly. And they did. They got the exact look they wanted out of it. They got the play action fake. Jacksonville's responding to the jumbo personnel in front, and DJ is running wide open. And the overhead view of that is, I mean, it's wide open. And you got to let it go earlier. You got to let it go with a little more juice. And it's going to be one of our favorite plays of the day. So I can't in any good conscience knock Shane for that. And then obviously the interception happens, and Caleb, again, he responds to it. And that's what's been so impressive by him and Mercedes Lewis, among the many teammates in the locker room after the game, that just talk about, man, this is a dude that is like every single week showing signs of maturity. You know, we can talk about it, but there's things that you watch on the tape where you go, that's undeniable maturity. You throw a bad pick and you come back. It doesn't faze you. You get a touchdown before the half. You get another touchdown off a takeaway. You get another touchdown after another takeaway, and you just get your offense in a flow. And look, I mean, like, there used to be times when we come on this podcast and we'd have one offensive touchdown to talk about.
Ugh.
We've had 5 in each of the last 2 games, right? And it's a different world we're living in, to the point, studs, where Keenan Allen joked after the game that Montez Sweat came to him sometime in the second half and said, look, like, you guys are staying on the field too long. I need to go get a sack. We got a big lead. I got to go pin my ears back and get my production out. I never in my wildest dreams did I think a Bears defensive player was going to be squawking at the offense for being too productive and staying on the field too long.
That's a refreshing change of pace. All right, since you brought up the defense, I do want to make sure we talk about the defense a little bit, because, you know, look, they came in defensively without Jaquan Brisker. Tyreek Stevenson got hurt during practice, and he was during this last week, and so he was out for this game. So you're down 2 starters in the secondary. That forces Elijah Hicks and Jalen Jones into action. Yep. And then about midway through the game, you lose Kyler Gordon, and so you have Josh Blackwell coming into the game. And so you're playing without 3 of your 5 talented defensive backs. And, you know, they I think acquitted themselves very well. Like, heck, I mean, Elijah Hicks had a fumble recovery and Blackwell had an interception. So like, we've talked a lot about how we all on this podcast think that the real strength of this team is the depth of their secondary. And it was on display today.
I really like Elijah Hicks. Over the last 2 years, he's really won you over with the way he steps in when needed and knows where he needs to be. He's not going to be perfect. He's not going to give you everything that Jaquan Brisker gives you, but he's not going to kill you. And to see the energy he plays with, to see him be around the football the way he was, to see him come up with that really pivotal moment there at the start of the second half where they get the forced fumble by TJ Edwards and he scoops it up. And you were just like, man, like, I think I tweeted, I said, you know, the ass kicking is on here in London because that was like the moment where you just felt like the Jaguars aren't getting back up from this. You know what I mean? Like, the Bears have this game in their control. And with the energy swelling in the building, with the energy swelling on the sideline, you just felt like that's a play that like changes things for the entire afternoon. Mm-hmm. And when you get your entire team capable of doing that, even the next man up in the secondary, which again, by the day's end, you've got three backups in leading roles in the secondary and handling their business accordingly, you got to feel really, really good about the direction. And this was The streak got up to 12. 12 games in a row, holding an opponent 21 points or fewer. So it keeps going upwards.
And we should also mention Jalen Jones actually led the team in total tackles today. He had 9 total tackles and 10 combined. And it was – and, you know, that's not always a great thing when a corner leads your team in tackles. But, like, and in this situation, it was fine because they're only allowing 16 points. And really that the last touchdown in the fourth quarter was a fairly meaningless score. But, yeah, the defense continues to really show us that they're still the real strength of this team. And, you know, it's funny, I was having a conversation with a friend last night about the defense and, you know, he's like, are you worried about the secondary? I'm like, I'm not. Like, I have unwavering confidence that this defense is going to get the job done against damn near anyone. And, you know, even if they have to play a couple backups, and now they have 2 weeks to get healthy and get back to full strength before they play the Commanders.
No question. And it should be a fun bye week for guys that are traveling and getting away. They're going to feel a lot of positive energy as they do that. I wanted to give you a handful of 3-word reviews if you're ready for them, because when you're overseas, people tend to get a little bit more creative, right? Like, and so like we put that out. This one was from at Kel Rules. Tea is served. Tremendous 3-word review after Keenan Allen scores the touchdown and breaks into the tea party in the end zone. And Caleb told us after the game that he didn't get in time to join the initial tea party. He was playing guarding the tea party there, which was where the afternoon tea was good. So that was a good one. I really like this one. Chuffed to bits from at Steve Hanna. I had to go to Google and just make sure that chuffed was a verb that we could use on the podcast. It means very pleased. So that was a very, very nice one from at Steve Hanna.
Okay, learned a new word.
You have Andrew Kleinhans gave us, this is fun. I think the entire city of Chicago feels the fun building right now. That one was a repeat entry in the 3-word reviews today. Keeps getting better. That's from created by Raf. I think that's it for both the Caleb Williams experience and the Bears fan experience right now. Through 6 weeks, it keeps getting better. I'll give you one more here. You got a bunch of Caleb is legit. We have a QB. I'm a believer. Those are all there. And then, I was trying to find the one that I like the most, but Caleb goes global. That was another good one. And then fish chips win from the Matrix, which, let's just theme it with London. Go to my Twitter account. Check out the 3-word reviews there. You guys are doing a fantastic job with those. And obviously, it's getting easier with the Bears playing the way they've played the last.
You know, those are great. Great choices. And keep them coming. At Dan Wiederer is where you can find those.
Chuff to bits, Stubbs.
I will say, like, before we do our game balls here, it was a weird morning for me because I was working the Chicago Marathon for 670 The Score that broadcasts every week. So I was kind of like, you know, touch and go on the game, and I came back home and I caught up and to everything I missed. But, you know, I didn't get to like fully enjoy the thing, the game the way that like everyone else kind of was. But it's like it is back to back fun games. Yeah. And like, this is something we haven't had around here in a while. And I think that it's good to like kind of embrace and say like, hey, you know, this is a nice little feeling, and, you know, hopefully they can keep ascending.
So one last thing before we get to our game balls. I wanted to ask you something that we proposed as beat writers around a table of pint glasses earlier in the week. This 8:30 start, I know you didn't get to fully enjoy it today because you had the marathon stuff to tend to, but would you be open to the idea of the Bears playing a game at Soldier Field that kicked off at 8:30 in the morning, just as something that they would do once a year just to kind of get in this flow? Because I think people are starting to get used to this 8:30 kickoff around the league and saying, man, this is kind of cool to have the stage all to yourself early in the morning and get your day off to a good start. And then you got the rest of your afternoon free.
You know, I will say it is enjoyable to come back home, you know, again, I was working, but come back home, catch up on the game. And then it's like, oh, I can just kind of watch football for a few hours. And and you don't have to worry about. So, yeah, like, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to it. If they did it, I would be open to the idea. I don't think that the NFL would ever allow it or the NFLPA, the NFLPA more specifically. I don't think they would ever let that happen.
I'm going to put it in the suggestion box at next spring's league meetings, and we'll see if we can get any traction with it, see if we can get it rolling. You know the kind of sway I have at the league office, so see if that can start to
move. Of course, you know, like, I'm sure they have a suggestion box right there outside the owner's meeting that for any beat writer to place in. So all right, we'll go ahead and wrap things up here with our game balls. A lot of different directions I think you can go in this one, but I hate to do this, Dan. I'm going to go with Cole Kmet. I'm taking Cole Kmet. He gets my game ball, and, you know, like, we talked about it a lot, obviously. Just a really impressive day for him, and hopefully he never has the long snap again. Because I, you know, ideally in a couple of weeks, Scott Daly is back. Or do actually, you know what? We should real quick. Do we know what the latest on Patrick Scales is? Because his IR time should be about coming up, right?
Yeah. Well, he has not returned to practice, and again, we talked about this earlier. The back injury, the back surgery, usually requires some level of intense rehab. When we've seen Patrick around the facility, he seems to be maneuvering around good as somebody who can walk down a hallway. I don't know how good he's maneuvering in terms of being able to snap a football, go down and cover a punt, and be able to do those things. So interesting to note, because if Scott Daly was declared out for this game very quickly.
Yes, right?
There were no gray area with it, which leads you to believe that they've gotten that blue medical tent, found something in his left knee that wasn't very encouraging. I'd imagine he's going to have to go through a bunch of testing when they get back stateside, and you should be bracing for the worst news there with Scott Daly. And so if it's not Patrick Scales, now you've got to go back out on the street flea market for long snappers and find somebody that can hold the fort down for a little while. I imagine Cole's not going to raise his hand and say, you know what, just let me do it for the rest of the year. They're going to have to go get a professional long snapper and see which direction they go.
You would hope so. But yeah, Cole Kmet gets my game ball. Really impressive day for him, and continues to justify the contract that Ryan Poles gave him a year ago.
No question. I'm going to give out two game balls here. There's going to be two apologies before I give out my game balls. The apologies are to Caleb Williams, who had an amazing game and is going to have many more game balls in his Take the North future. The second apology is to Keenan Allen, who's already got a ton of game balls in his career. He's been around the league forever. He's got like 10,000 receiving yards. He's got a mantle full of them. So I'm going to split this one between Elijah Hicks and Josh Blackwell. And I just think their ability to come up with takeaways as next men up in a secondary that we were kind of concerned about by Friday evening, when we knew that Stevenson's injury was likely to keep him out, speaks volumes for the resilience of this team, the depth of this team, the mindset of this team. And so I think those two guys really represent a lot of what's building inside that locker room. And it's belief, you know, it's belief that no matter who gets hurt, no matter what country they've got to play in, no matter what twists encounter them along the way, they're going to find an answer. And they found an answer today. They walk out of Tottenham Hotspur Stadium with the 35-16 win, and they've got nothing but momentum here. And it's quite a departure from where we were 3 weeks ago with an offensive crisis and a brutal loss in Indianapolis and a lot of things to figure out. They figured out a lot in 3 weeks' time, studs, and now they got the bye week to go self-scout it all.
Yes, they did, and we will be here every step of the way, as we'll have more to come the rest of the week. Dan will make his way back to Chicago along with the Bears, and they'll head into this bye week and see what will happen against the Commanders in 2 weeks' time. That's going to do it for us today. Thank you for listening to the Take the North podcast presented by Odyssey. For Dan Wiederer, I am Adam Staszynski, and we will talk to you next time.
From the pickled hen, great talk. See you out there.
Thank you, everybody. The Bears.